Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Our guest for the preponderance of the hour is Brother Paige Tyler. He is our 12-step ministry guru extraordinaire and still in the race doing the steps himself. Brother Tyler is a very dear friend to the broadcast and a very dear and personal friend to myself. He joins us on the other end of something that the Apostle Paul has to say, taken from 2 Corinthians, directly from the New Testament. And we read the following, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we are reading, please, verses 14 through 17. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Having shared from this text 1 week ago, we accented the fact, the spiritual reality, that we are always in Christ being led in triumphal procession, which is a bit of a misnomer to many, many people today, as it would appear as if the gospel is in dramatic decline here in the Western world. We know that in Europe, certainly Western Europe, the gospel has been in dramatic decline for many decades. Thankfully, throughout much of Eastern Europe, the gospel remains, certainly amongst our Catholic and Orthodox friends, the gospel remains very much in play. But the great bastion, historically, over the last 50, 60 years, has ostensibly been the United States. But now, according to all of the surveys, and quite candidly, according to many of the church attendance figures, the gospel is ostensibly, apparently, and quite substantively in decline. People are looking to other sources, even other spiritual sources, for their nourishment and for their identity. This is very sad to me. The gospel is one of the fundamental pillars of what has made the United States of America so very, very great over the last 2.5 centuries. We have not been perfect, far from it. We have had horrible blemishes and blights on our record. But we have been a democracy. We have been capitalistic in our economic enterprise. And last but certainly not least, we have been Judeo-Christian in our spiritual and moral and ethical orientation. Apparently no more. And I think one can see the dramatic and deleterious effects of such a decline. But for those of us who remain in Christ, it again is a spiritual fact. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And as we shared last time, it is a very salient truth that even when a Christian is going through the gristmill of horrendous trauma, God in his mercy and grace is working to bring forth fruit and to bring forth good. All things work to the good of them that love the Lord, who have been called according to his purpose. And as Joseph learned in the book of Genesis, after he had been sold into slavery by his brothers, after he had been traumatized through ancient Egyptian prisons, and yet God raised him up. He had been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of sexual assault. But having been horribly accused, Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord, allowed the Lord to work in his life, and Joseph was raised up. He was elevated above and beyond the fray. He became the second most powerful man in Egypt. And what he learned was, and I quote the scripture, what was meant for his evil, God meant for for his good. So we are always in triumphal procession. Even if we're bogged down in the mud and mire, even if we're struggling with temptation and sin. I love a quote that I just encountered earlier today or yesterday on the Facebook. It read that if you are struggling, that is a sign of holiness. Because if you had ceased to be holy, if you had thrown over the moral and ethical precepts of the Word of God, if you had ceased to be mindful of what brings honor and glory to God and became only mindful of what would bring pleasure and satisfaction to yourself, you would have given in to the struggle. The struggle would be no more because you would have given in. So struggle is a sign of holiness. And doesn't the Apostle Paul say that though we have struggled, we forget what is behind, so much that we have endured that can continue to be like a pall hanging over our head, things that will continue to affect adversely the quality of our lives. We can forget all of that. Yes, we need help to do so. A 12-step group led by Brother Tyler can be just what the doctor ordered. And it will take time, but it is a worthwhile expenditure. But that being said, God does come to heal, and God does come to deliver, and God does come to lead you in triumphal procession. We can forget what is behind, and we can strive ahead to acquire and to gain that reward that Christ has for us, that is prepared for us in glory. I know for myself, over 40 years of earnest, intentional encounter and struggle, surrendering to God, begging and pleading His mercy, doing my work. And over 40 years later, some 49 years after the struggle began, I finally begin to experience the liberating existence that is now mine in Christ. Where once I lacked confidence, now I am confident in Christ. And I praise God and would never want or wish to go back. And I want and wish and pray that for everyone attentive to this broadcast, the same can be true of you. But first, you must position yourself in Christ. You must surrender your life to Christ and allow His Spirit to begin to work. And as His Spirit works in you, His Spirit will also work through you. And the text before us, we read afresh, "Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." And now it goes on to say, "And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For you and I are and have become, we are the aroma of Christ." That, "and through us, the knowledge of Christ is spread everywhere." You know, we're living in a day and age in which the knowledge of God is grossly diminished. Fewer and fewer people are sensate to His presence. Fewer and fewer people are other than indifferent to His existence. We see the effects, the adverse, the deleterious and destructive effects of the lack of God. I love how Billy Graham's daughter, Annie Graham Launce, once put it. This was in the aftermath of 9/11, and she was asked, "Why did God allow for such a trauma to strike our beloved nation?" One could have any number of reasons, and we can't always know the depths of the motivations of the Almighty for what He allows. But that being said, she did make a very cogent point. She said, "God is a gentleman, and we asked God to step aside. We sought to remove Him from the public arena, and God is a gentleman, and He stepped aside. But where there is no God, the chaos ensues, and men and women everywhere are now beholden to their own notions of what is right. They become subjugated by their own pathologies and sin natures. And God help each and every one of us. But you and I who look to Christ, in whom Christ now dwells, we become His fragrance. We become His aroma, if you will. We become for an ugly world, a world increasingly denuded of beauty. We become the beauty of Christ for and before the world." Now, beauty is an interesting thing. Everyone has a different concept of what is beautiful. Beauty, we understand on one level, is in the eyes of the beholder. and yet without a standard of beauty, without an aesthetical standard, how can one even conceive of something being beautiful? There is always objective truth, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that the magnificence of the Cathedral Basilica on the Ben Franklin Parkway in Philadelphia is infinitely more beautiful than some piece of ecclesiastical construction that went up in the 1970s, buildings that look denuded of soul and have no, by my estimate, aesthetic apparel. Well, people may not be able to understand who God is, but if they encounter the beauty of Christ in us, they are encountering something that they have heretofore never encountered. And I should think that in the very least they are struck. And we have such an opportunity to be the fragrance and the aroma and the beauty for Christ to a fallen world, replete and thoroughly overgrown now by ugliness. Let the beauty of Christ shine. I praise God to be part and parcel of his people. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are joined afresh by a man who is otherwise now buried in the deeps of North Carolina, but comes forth to the surface to join us on this broadcast, Brother Paige Tyler. God bless you, Paige. It's a joy to have you back.
Thank you, Bradley. It's a joy to be back. It's a blessing.
You're down in the bowels and the bunkers of one of those southern states, I understand.
Yeah. You know, it's enjoyable. It's nice. It's nice weather down here. A little hot this time of year, but, it's nice weather.
Well, you are missed.
I'm missed,
believe me, brother. But we can get you back once a month for the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Amen. And we're here for step 8.
We are indeed. Would you tell us what that's about?
And step 8 is, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And for those who hadn't been following along with us month to month, or maybe you skipped a month or two, I'll just look back real quick at step 6 so that we can bring you forward. If you remember in step 5, we had this moral inventory that we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another person the exact nature of our wrongs. Then step 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That would have been your wrongs or defects of character that you found in step 5, that you, as you were talking to some spiritual advisor, that you gleaned out of your step 4 inventory. And now, then you went to step 7, and you humbly asked him. Now notice how we have two whole steps just getting ready to have God remove our defects of character. So step 7, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And now, with shortcomings in hand, we now look at the harm that those shortcomings have done and the wreckage that they have created amongst the people around us. You should not be afraid of this step, because this is just between you and God. Since God already knows, there's no big secrets here. This is you putting down on paper to remove the veil of denial from your own eyelids. This is you telling the truth to you.
Well, now you say that we don't have to be afraid of this step, but there is one even greater, I think, more fundamental obstruction than one's own fear. And it's a monosyllabic word. It comes in two letters, and it's the word if. You may recall, brother, when the Olympics had their opening ceremony, and there was that travesty. They ostensibly claimed it was relating to the Greek goddess Dionysus, but it appeared to be a mockery of the Last Supper. And ultimately, one of the members of that committee came forward, and they issued what ostensibly was an apology for any offense they had caused. But this is exactly what they said. If we have caused any offense, we are sorry. But then they also added, however, we succeeded in accomplishing our goals. And I thought to myself, apart from any mockery of the Last Supper, they claimed it was Dionysius, maybe it was. That being said, it was a mockery to sincerity and truth. There was no apology there. That word if killed it from the start. So you have the fear on the one hand, but you also have the if on the other. And address that for a moment, would you?
Well, yeah, the if is, you know, if you are willing, which was already back in 6, if you have humbled yourself, which was in 7,
yes,
then you can make this list of people you have harmed. However, if you haven't done the ifs and correctly answered, taken the right leg of the branch, you will more than likely gloss over your wrongs with a lot of rationalization and excuses for why. If they didn't do that to me, then I wouldn't have done that to them.
Right, right.
Kind of thinking.
Well, you've offered redemption to what is otherwise a preeminently serviceable word. If is one of those hinge words, and you have to have hinges in life to make things work. You've just redeemed it. If I've humbled myself,
yes,
rather than if I've offended you. So the onus is now on me, not you.
Exactly. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And they if I offended you, for instance, is doing something wrong and then flipping it over and saying, well, it's not my fault you were offended.
Right, right.
But if you were, I'm sorry.
Right.
No, that's not the way it works. That's not an amend,
no.
By the way. We'll get to that next step.
Well, I have to tell you, you'll be charmed by the story. You're going to laugh. It's true. I was having lunch in the city recently, Little Pete's off the Parkway. And there's an outdoor, there's an outdoor area. And as I'm entering the outdoor area, there are two beautiful little children, a brother and sister, and they're playing. And the little girl falls down. The brother isn't anywhere near her. But the little girl falls down and she starts crying. I think she shocked herself. So mommy comes running over. And you know what the little girl does? She blames her brother. He hit me. Now, I'm watching this. He wasn't anywhere near her, okay? But she blames him. So if I've offended you, if I say if I've offended you, I'm blaming you, not me.
Exactly.
That was a cute little thing. But the little, it was in the little girl's soul. Nobody taught her to blame him, but she blamed him, all right? But now I'm going to blame you for me having done something wrong to you. It's insanity.
Yep. Exactly. So that's what we have to avoid here. What we need to do is make a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing. There goes the big thing. Become willing to make amends to them all. So all we're doing is making a list in this step, and we're becoming willing to move on to the next step. That is to make an amends to those people who we perceived we have harmed. Problem is here is that our perception. Oftentimes, this list keeps growing as we go along. As we get clearer and clearer and get more cleared up by the Lord, we find that our list that started out when we first started out on these steps, this list keeps growing and growing and growing because we keep seeing how our own personal behaviors, you know, have damaged other people around us or taken advantage of other people around us. And therefore, more and more people go on our list of people we had harmed. Now, we're not making amends here. We're going on with a list of people we have harmed. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, and as you accented at the beginning of the segment, our willingness to do so is predicated upon an earlier willingness. We were already willing to acknowledge. We were already willing to repent. We were already willing to conduct a fearless moral inventory. I love the phrase, and I mean that soberly. We were already willing to do these other things. So this is now, in a sense, a natural outgrowth of what our lives have already become. Where it
have already become.
Already become, exactly. I have to stop you there. And I'm so sorry because we're out of time. I know it. I see your countenance. The radio audience can't. It was very impressive. But pick up with where you were going in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tonner, we return with the great message momentarily. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, we return for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Tyler, we were discussing the basic substratum of the 12-Step Ministry, which at least in one respect is a willingness, an openness and a willingness to surrender our lives to whatever is required of us. Pick up where we left off. I know you were ready with a thought.
Yes, and I was right there saying, getting ready to say, if you have walked this far with God, then this is not hard at all. If you have let God lead you through a moral inventory, you allowed him and had him work with you upon admitting the wrongs that you could see and that you had put on your inventory, and you asked him to remove those wrongs from you, this is a natural outgrowth of them. It's like a spillover right here. This comes out of you like oil out of a gusher. You know, it's because you've got to get it out of you now. Onto the paper it goes. It's not going any further right now. It's going on to the paper. And if you're working with God, it's going to be a natural outgrowth from your growing in the Lord. You need to get this stuff out of you so that you can make room for the Spirit of God to replace. This stuff is cluttering up your life. This stuff is taking up space in your head, in your heart, and in your soul, and in your mind. Some of it, you feel guilt, so you're trying to hide it. Some of it you feel pride, so you're over-exaggerating it and projecting it. Some of it you pretend like it's not there, so you're trying to cover it up. And you're spending a lot of energy doing all that, and there's no room for God. You know, where when you let these things go, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
You know, I mentioned earlier, perhaps it was within the context of the devotional, perhaps within the context of our opening segment, but I'm 62 years of age. I came to know Christ 49 years ago this month. You can wish me, come on up to wish me happy birthday. You can take me to Little Pete's, okay?
Happy birthday. I thought you were taking me to Little Pete's.
Well,
hey. Well,
it's my birthday.
Frank,
it's my birthday.
You're my witness.
I'm the birthday boy. So 49 years ago, I woke up one morning, and my God, what had happened from the night before? I went from sanity to insanity, normalcy to pathology. I don't know what happened. But my point is, over the next 40-plus years, I laid my life down at the foot of the cross. I struggled, I sweated, I prayed, I pleaded, I did my work. And the longer this went on, the less I wanted to ever go back, even though I'm in the thick of it and it's nasty. I didn't ever want to go back to where I once was. I was nearly institutionalized. 49 years later, I can now say, the grace of God, brother, it's behind me. I mean, it's like I've entered the Elysian field psychologically. I praise God for it. But I had to be willing to do whatever it took. I had to be willing to prostrate myself before God and receive his counsel, even if it bucked against my fears and my stubbornness.
Exactly.
That's essentially what the 12-step group is. And these are not mechanical steps, are they?
No, they're not.
These are developing. They're developing
they're
steps.
They're developing steps. You run through them over and over and over again through your life. The first time you're going through, you're just sweeping the leaves off the path so you can see the path and which way to go. And you will go through this cycle cyclically, step 6, 7, 8, 9, over and over and over again. Because there really are. That's what step 10 is. Step 6, 7, 8, 9. Over and over and over again as you keep realizing, here's another character defect. I got to take it. I can't. You'll try and get rid of it on your own. It's like trying to perform surgery on yourself. It will fail. Then once you've failed, you'll realize that God's your only solution. You'll turn to God. You'll humble yourself. You'll present it to God, and He will show you the way out.
The problem, brother, with doing the surgery on yourself is that you don't anesthetize yourself until after the surgery you've performed, right? God is, defeats the whole purpose.
That's exactly.
You can use that as long as you give me full attribution, all right?
I'm stealing it shamelessly.
You know, another bit of humor, then a sober point. Whenever you and I have completed these 12-step cycles, whether when you were back in town and we were doing it in the building with some other people or we're doing it now over the airwaves, whenever we get to the end of chapter 12, I hate you. You know why? Because I know you're going to make me start up step one all over again. However, all humor aside, it is not, you know, the difference between the ancient Greeks and their sense of history and that of Christianity. To the ancient Greeks, history was cyclical. It just recycled itself. These steps are not just recycling themselves. Like the Christian understanding, we're making progress. With each cycle, there's fresh progress being made.
Exactly. These steps are more like the rings on the trunk of a tree. Each time we go through them, we're building a stronger, more durable, more capable spiritual life, a mighty trunk that is capable of standing up to the bellows of wind that are going to come at you in this life, because life ain't easy.
I love your use of motif today, Paige. You're really hitting stride. I got to tell you. You know, I love the concept of building. Look, everything boils down to fundamentals in life. I mean, the Boston Celtics have won, forgive me, you're a Sixer fan, but I know. They've won 18 championships because they've played fundamentals.
I'll give you that.
And if I've offended you with that illustration, I apologize, right? What's the best marriage? You're applying the fundamentals.
Exactly.
What's the best business practice? You're applying the fundamentals. What's the best practice of living life? You're applying you're making a fine art of the fundamentals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And of executing them repetitively in a systematic way that allows you to grow. If that's a business, grow economically. If that's an education, grow intellectually. And if that's a religious endeavor, to grow spiritually.
Yeah.
But you must be able to apply some order and some discipline to whatever it is you're endeavoring. Here we are rebuilding a life, but it is a life beyond anything we have ever experienced before. Because if you're in the world, then you haven't begun to experience anything like what it's like to be in a relationship, a one-on-one relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You haven't even begun to feel it, to wake up in the morning and have your Lord say, "Good morning, my child."
Follow the logic of that through, the logic of relationship. And in the final analysis, you wake up one day, and I mean day with a capital D, and you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Amen.
I can't wait to hear that. Now, I have life to live. I have work to be done. But when that day comes, that's worth waiting for. That's worth living for. And I will also say this for those who are struggling to be in the race. I struggled for, I'm going to say, about 45 years, brother. And I'm not saying there isn't struggle ahead. I don't mean that. I'm not suggesting I've arrived in the sense that I can be unduly cocky. I just mean in the infancy stages, by the mercy and grace of God, so much of what assailed me internally, God has set me free from it. There's nothing like that. Money doesn't buy it. There's nothing like it. I would never go back knowing now what I do. And so for a man or a woman who is investing in these 12 steps, the race and the struggle is well worth the effort.
Amen. It is well worth the effort. It's just putting the sickle to the harvest. You are harvesting your life, and you are bringing forth the fruit of your life. Now we're in the point of where we're beginning to see the fruits of our labor. By the time you get to step 8, you're starting to begin to see the fruits of your labor. And step 9, they'll tell you that you will see such amazing promises before you are halfway through. That's before you get to step 6. You will start seeing amazing promises, and by the time you're in the step 9, this is where you have given your life over such that you are willing to execute whatever God tells you to do. Then you will reap such a bountiful crop of grace from God until it will make whatever pain you're going through well worth it. Much like a mother who bears a child, you will be overjoyed for the outcome of your effort. But it is work.
Yes, it is. Praise God. On that note, Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return with one final round of the Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, we return for one final round of the Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother, as we were discussing together concerning all things Step 8, the thought occurs to me, Step 8 brings us to the brink or to the cusp of addressing people who we have harmed. It brings us to the cusp of that. And what comes to my mind is, if this has been an organic process, and the Spirit of God has been anointing, and we have been properly surrendering and doing our work, it strikes me that our whole perception of other people changes. They are no longer objects of our gratification or satisfaction or the lack thereof. They become living, breathing human beings in their own right with their own value, and we are called upon and wish to honor them, not exploit them. Am I right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example out of the Bible, and you'll know this. Zacchaeus. I don't know how many people know him, but he was a chief tax collector, which means in ancient Jewish terms, a chief scumbag.
With a capital S.
With a capital S. And he wanted to see Jesus. So let's pick up where he wanted to see Jesus. That would be, you would be in Luke 19, 3. He wanted to see Jesus. So he wanted to get to know the true Messiah. So what did he do? Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he had to do something. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So he positioned himself. He went out of his way. He put an effort and put himself where he would be in Jesus' path so he could just see him. And when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." which is like an amazing thing, because there would be no respectable Jewish person who would have even talked to this man, because he was the ultimate in sinner. What can we think of today that would be equivalent? The pimp, drug dealer, pusher, you know, worst scumbag on the earth, murderer. Okay? And Jesus stops and says, I'll come to your house. So he came down and gladly welcomed him in. Now, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he is gone to be the guest of a sinner. I'm saying his name wrong, right?
That's all right. Well, we know who you mean. Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus. Yeah. Zacchaeus stood up and said, here's step 8. Once he's gotten to know the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus has come into his house and has supped with him, he stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. Okay? And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. This is Zacchaeus. This is Zacchaeus executing step 8. Once he had encountered Jesus Christ, once Jesus Christ had come into his house and supped with him, his spirit was moved to do step 8.
That's right, yeah.
And he's doing step 8 here. He has not given anybody anything. He's not reached in his pocket, and he said he's going to do it. He made the pledge to do it. And what does Jesus say? Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come into this house. Because this man, too, that's you and me and all the rest of us out there, is the son of Abraham, or the son of God, today. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's all of us.
And brother,
that's step 8.
Yeah, and obviously, and this is heartening to me, Jesus knew the heart of Zacchaeus, because we know elsewhere in Scripture, if one goes to the book of Acts, we encounter the couple, and they were boasting as to what they were going to give to the church, and they gave nothing.
Right.
And the Spirit of God had to make a lesson out of them. You know, it's a hard lesson, but they lost their lives. They were not speaking sincerely. It might very well be that part of them wanted to be that generous, but there was another part that got the best of them that didn't. But Christ knows our hearts. So if you're approaching step 8 with sincerity, even if there is an element of fear and trepidation still, but if he knows your heart is sincere, he's going to honor you and give you what you need to fulfill step 8 and to carry on with your growth in him. I love this about my Lord, and I know you do as well. He always honors his servants.
Exactly.
He's never ashamed. Yeah, he's never ashamed of us, even if we blow it. He's never ashamed of us. He always honors us.
Yeah, the good thing is when we do fail, he picks us up, dusts us off, and says, come on. Keep on trying.
Well, there you are. There you are.
Encourages you. Just like like he did Peter. Denied him 3 times. You know? And then what did he say to Peter? You know? Hey, you're the rock I'm going to make my whole church out of. I'm going to build my whole church out of you. He restores him. When he comes back after his crucifixion.
Well, you will recall Peter went from denying Christ. I suspect the Bible doesn't say this. I'm perhaps reading in, but he was afraid, because we know that when Christ meets Peter on the beach, Peter is one sorry puppy.
Yes.
I mean, his heart is broken over what he had done. So it's not like that was his first order of business. His flesh and his fear got the best of him. But Christ knew him better than he knew himself.
Exactly. So Christ is always restorative of us and is always attempting to restore us to a right relationship with him. And that's what this process is designed to do. It is designed to restore us to a right relationship with our spiritual Lord and Savior.
Yes, indeed.
And to restore our spirit.
Yeah.
You know, we may have a conscious, I know Christ. I go to church every Sunday. That is not the same thing as having a spiritual connection with Christ.
No, far from it. And I think we need to understand that, and that needs to be propounded with as much clarity as is humanly and divinely possible. God bless you, brother. We're out of time. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler concerning Step 8 of the 12-Step Movement. We wish you God's grace and blessing in every way. Thank you.